You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Melody Anderson, Dale Arden and Flash Gordon and Manimal and lots of stuff, saying hello to the listeners at the Flopcast. Take care.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 380.
Spoiler alert, we're all out of meatball sequels.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
All Out of Meatballs sequels was one of the worst Air Supply songs of all time, I think.
I couldn't agree with you more.
How are you?
Man, am I so happy we don't have another Meatball sequel to watch tonight.
We watched every sequel to Meatballs. It was our big summer project. We finished last week. Nicely done.
Yes.
Now we move forward.
Happily so.
Forward to Atlanta.
Yeah, get ready for Dragon Con now.
We're creeping down to the south. So this is our Dragon Con preview show. It's also an 80s themed show because this is episode 380, which means, you know what that means, the next 10 weeks we shall do some 80s stuff.
We've got some 80s talk.
So all that's coming up soon. Right now, however, Cornflake, what do you have for National Whatever Day?
So Chandler Bing gets a mention on our show this week, Kevin. Yep. From Friends?
Yes.
Matthew Perry is turning 50 on August 19th.
Matthew Perry. Okay, I know who that is.
50th birthday.
I remember that guy from Friends.
Yes.
Sitcom in the 90s.
Pretty much everybody knows who Matthew Perry is, but did you know that he's originally from Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think a couple of the Friends guys are from Massachusetts. I think he is, and the other Matt. Matt LeBlanc,
played Joey.
I believe also from Massachusetts. Yes. Yeah. Although I think Matthew Perry's also Canadian. Did he move away from here and go live in Canada?
Yep, that sounds about right.
Why do I know that?
You keep track of all things Canada.
For some reason, I hate that I know that. Yeah, I watched a little Friends back in the day. I bailed out at some point. I don't think I stuck with that show for the whole run.
That's a show that I didn't stick with either.
He was the sarcastic one.
Yes. Yeah, I was more of a Phoebe girl myself,
okay,
but
sure.
What I didn't realize, he made appearances in shows throughout the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, that whole Friends cast, they all popped up in all sorts of other stuff before.
Like Charles in Charge?
Before their superstardom on Friends. I did not know that he was on Charles in Charge, no. He would have been very young.
Yes, Charles in Charge.
He played Willie Ames.
Nobody could play Willie Ames, but Willie Ames, come on.
He'd be in makeup for 4 hours every morning. They put a big Willie Ames mask on him. Most people don't know that. That's one of my many Willie Ames conspiracy theories. Thank you.
Yeah.
What else you got?
He had a bit part on Who's the Boss?
Mm-hmm.
Empty Nest?
Sure.
Growing Pains? I think this might surprise you. Do you remember him being on Silver Spoons?
No.
Because he was.
Wow. Okay. Now I want to find that episode.
Yeah, you've got to check that out.
He would have been really young on Silver Spoons. Yikes.
And something that might blow your mind yet more, he was on at least one episode of Highway to Heaven.
Okay.
And I'm sure he's known for plenty of other things.
I know him from one other thing. And
what?
That was a post Friends. He was on a show called Studio 60. Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, something like that?
Yeah.
It was like a Saturday Night Live type show. It was like a drama series about, like, set backstage at a Saturday Night Live type sketch comedy TV show. And he played, like, the head writer or producer.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, this was Aaron Sorkin, the guy that did The West Wing and shows like that. It's Matthew Perry and Bradley Whitford, who was on West Wing, and Steven Weber and Amanda Peet. And meanwhile, at the same time, same TV season, Tina Fey launched 30 Rock.
Right.
Which was her show set at a SNL-type show. And I think the smart money was on Studio 60 to be the hit show.
Mm-hmm.
And Studio 60 did not last long.
Nope.
And everybody loved 30 Rock. Studio 60, yeah, great cast, but they were all kind of miserable. It was like a sad, dark show about a sketch comedy show. It didn't really work.
Yeah.
The tone was off. And then I never saw him again. I'm sure he's done other stuff since then, but I have not seen Matthew Perry in like 12 years or so, I think.
Well, with that, happy 50th birthday and
yes.
And many more,
Matthew Perry. Happy birthday to one of the Massachusetts friends.
Yes.
Cornflake, ready to go back to the 80s?
I think so. I feel about as prepared as I ever am on this show for going back to the 80s.
We're
going to
be quick because we've got all this Dragon Con stuff to get through. But this is episode 380, and so really quick, we're going to talk about 1980.
Okay.
We did this starting with Flopcast episode 80.
That's true.
We've done this ever since. We're episode 180, episode 280. Now, here we are. It comes around about every 2 years we go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not prepare much for this. Here's all I have. I just looked up a couple of stats from this week in 1980.
Okay.
What I have is the number one movie this week in 1980 is a movie I have never seen.
Really?
Yeah. Number two movie this week is The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Number one, however, Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Oh, wow.
I've not seen any of the Smokey and the Bandit movies.
Nor have I. We're bad Burt Reynolds fans, aren't we?
Sorry, Burt. Burt might be coming up later in this Swapcast episode, however.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll get to Burt later on. But yeah, oddly, I never saw the number one movie. The other thing I have from 1980, I have the top 10 songs from the week ending August 23rd, 1980.
Okay.
You ready for some Casey Kasem-style action here?
Yeah, I am.
Well, let's count them down. At number 10, Kim Carnes with More Love.
What?
I remember this song. That was a hit song. Her monster hit was Betty Davis Eyes.
Right.
This was one of her other hits, More Love. Not a great song.
Not a great song, and yet it made the top 10.
Sure, it's top 10. Why not? One of those kind of plodding mid-tempo songs.
Hmm.
You might know it if you heard it. Number 9, Pete Townsend, you know, from The Who?
Yeah,
Here's
I know.
Pete Townsend solo, Let My Love Open the Door. And that's a catchy poppy song.
Yeah, and there's more than one version of that song, isn't there?
Really?
Like, there's a slow version and there's a fast version, or are those all different parts of the same song?
I don't know. I only know the one version.
Because I feel like that song got popular again in the 90s.
Mm, but a slow version?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a slow, neandering version.
Huh, like a grunge version?
Did
the Melvins cover it? What happened? Mudhoney? Is there a Mudhoney version?
It was a polka version. It was a 90s grunge polka. No, yep. It's the slow, neandering, almost synthy version of it.
Okay. Let's see if you can find that for me.
I will.
Interesting. Number 8. Whoa, we sort of referenced this song at the top of the show. Number 8, Air Supply, All Out of Love.
Nice.
Come on. Those are our guys.
Yeah, they are. Always.
You still haven't washed your face, have
no.
you?
No.
No. Guy from Air Supply touched you 2 years ago.
One side of my face is a completely different color from the other at this point.
Number 7, Fame, Irene Cara.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. From the movie. And she's in the movie. She's one of the stars of the movie and sings the song.
The goods.
I love Irene Cara.
I get happy whenever I hear that song.
We looked up Irene Cara a few months ago. The mayor and I were talking about Irene Cara, and I got angry because I thought, why does Irene Cara never come and do a show that I could go and see?
Is she alive?
She is alive.
Okay.
Irene Cara is alive and well and not interested in touring.
Ah.
Yeah, so she's having a nice quiet life somewhere. She's good. She gave us so much already, you know, the theme from Fame and the theme from Flashdance.
I was just really concerned with where you were going with that for a minute. How come she doesn't tour anymore?
I was really
going
to bring the show down. Yikes.
Thank you for not upsetting me.
We wouldn't even be doing a show tonight. I'd just be in mourning. We are both wearing black, I noticed.
Yeah.
Don't worry, this is not. We're not in mourning for Irene Cara. She's good.
Yes.
Watch DC Cab if you want to see some Irene Cara.
It's a good plan.
Yes. Number 6, Billy Joel, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Classic.
Of course. From the Glass Houses album, 1980.
So good.
That was his first number one song.
It was.
Yeah, and one of my favorites back then. Absolutely. Number 5 is Diana Ross, Upside Down.
Oh, I love that.
That was pretty ridiculous.
That's why I love it.
It's one of those late disco era disco songs we're still kind of creeping around. So Diana was getting in there?
I always wondered when I was little how one could turn themselves inside out.
Yeah, how'd she do that?
Something to do with going round and round. I don't know. I tried to figure it out. I never could get the physics behind it.
A weird disco hit from Diana. Number four, the Rolling Stones' Emotional Rescue. This is not a good Rolling Stones song.
I would agree.
Maybe their worst.
And yet, still number four in a top ten.
Oh, yeah. Number three, Take Your Time, Do It Right, Part One, SOS Band.
That had more than one part to it?
I'm not sure if there was a part two, but I don't. All I know is there's a part one.
Wow.
I don't remember anything else from SOS Band.
Other than that song.
No. Number two, here we go. Christopher Cross, Sailing.
Ah.
That's a classic.
Did that song stay in the top 10 for like 4 years after that?
Probably.
People were just sailing for ages with that song.
Man, this is Christopher Cross, Unstoppable, in the late 70s, early 80s. Saw him in concert a couple of years ago. Loved it.
Yeah, I'm still a little envious about that.
Irene Cara will not tour, but Christopher Cross will. He'll come to us.
Yes, he will.
I may have a little Christopher Cross report coming up later this year.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I'm liking this list, though. I don't like every one of these songs, but it's fun to just look at a pile of songs like this, you know?
True.
Yikes, takes me back to going to the Caldor department store in Woonsocket, Rhode Island to buy my 45s. Number one, here we go, from Xanadu.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It can only be good news at this point, because...
Because Xanadu.
Every song from Xanadu is wonderful. We've got Olivia Newton-John, of course, one of your stars of Xanadu with Magic.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's an appropriate song for the top of the list.
Yeah, I would say.
So, look what was going on this week in 1980. That's a pretty good list. For the
songs I listened to from my playpen.
You were very young this week in 1980, but you remember it all.
Songs I napped to.
Kim Carnes would sing you to sleep every afternoon with More Love.
Yeah?
Yep.
Billy Joel would wake me up.
That's right. That's still rock and roll to me. Excellent. All right. Well, for the next 9 episodes after this, we're going to keep doing this. We'll dip into the top 10, I think.
Cool.
Quick little flashback to the 80s. But we've got some business to take care of for the rest of this Flopcast, of course.
I'm ready.
You know what's coming. This is Dragon Con preview. It's Dragon Con, Cornflake.
Yes, Dragon Con is coming.
This is happening once again. I am headed down to Atlanta for Dragon Con Labor Day weekend. We're less than 2 weeks away as the show comes out.
You and the mayor.
It's a little terrifying because I still have so much to do. So Dragon Con is Labor Day weekend and then some down in Atlanta. It's like nothing else. It's not a normal convention. None of them are normal.
You're right there.
This one even more so. And it's not a comics convention. It's not a gaming convention. It's not a science fiction convention. It's everything. It's every convention all happening at the same time, at the same place. It fills downtown Atlanta. It takes up 5 hotels plus a couple more buildings of exhibit space. About 80,000, 85,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, people are expected, I believe. Nerds,
that's
some of them.
Wild.
There might be some nerds and geeks in the crowd.
That is such a delightful concentration of nerds.
That's a big group. It's massive, but it's also spread out among all those locations. And so everybody there is kind of having their own Dragon Con. And, you know, nobody has the same Dragon Con experience because...
It's not uniform.
There's just so much happening. And
right.
You kind of pick and choose and customize what you want Dragon Con to be. And it's broken into tracks, and that's each track is like its own convention. There's a director who programs an entire weekend, and that's panels and presentations and Q&A and demonstrations and parties and concerts and all on various specific themes. So whatever your favorite thing is, if you're a Star Wars fan, you could follow the Star Wars track for the weekend and have an entire Star Wars convention for 5 days.
That's beautiful.
Or there's a million other things going on at the same time. I've got a list of the tracks right here. So just because I think there's some tracks that we've never even mentioned. There's like 30-something tracks.
30.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. I've got this big alphabetical list here. Alternate and historical fiction track.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the steampunk people are, plus any kind of alternate history stuff. American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Media. I work with that track quite a bit. American Sci-Fi Classics. That's the other track that I do a lot of work with every year.
That's you.
Those are my people. Animation has its own track. Anime and Manga, separate track from animation. Apocalypse Rising, which is sort of about like post-apocalyptic futuristic stuff and zombies and all that fun stuff. The Brit track, covering all things British. That is, you know, Doctor Who and
British comedy, right?
Oh, yeah, British comedy.
Monty Python.
Yes, Monty Python, James Bond, anything British they're covering on the Brit track. Costuming has its own track, and Dragon Con is massive for costuming. Just thousands of people in costumes everywhere you look. All the greatest costumers in the world all descend upon Atlanta every year. Digital Media is a track. This was formerly the podcasting track. They've rebranded as the Digital Media track this year because they're kind of expanding their scope, because that includes like YouTube videos and Twitch and all that stuff. So it's called Digital Media this year, which makes sense. Got to move with the times, you know?
That's right.
You don't want to just fade into obscurity.
Right.
Like a podcaster.
Are you trying to say we're archaic?
Don't want to be rendered obsolete like the Flopcast?
Oh, jeez.
Got to move forward with digital media. There's the Diversity in Speculative Fiction and Literature track. That was a new track they added last year just to make sure that there's a diversity in all forms are represented at the convention.
Inclusivity.
Absolutely. Electronic Frontiers Forum. That track is kind of concerned with rights on the internet and
Net neutrality.
Online rights, digital freedom, absolutely. Net neutrality, all that stuff. They're covering all those sorts of issues on EFF, the Electronic Frontiers forums.
Wow.
Fantasy literature, Filk. You know the Filk people.
Yeah, I do.
That's the music track, the kind of fan nerd-based music. Filk singing has a full track. You could spend a whole weekend filking.
Yeah, it could.
I could see you doing just that. There is a film track, which has, it's a film festival and panels and stuff all about filmmaking. High fantasy is a track. Horror has a track. You stay away from the horror track.
Yeah, it would not work.
It's not your speed. The kids track. This used to be called Kaleidoscope, but nobody knew what that meant. They used to say Kaleidoscope, then they'd explain that's the kids track.
No, they just call it the kids track.
Somebody figured out, you know what, let's call it the kids track. Save a step. But that's obviously programming, you know, aimed at the younger people at the convention. Military sci-fi media is its own track, and that's like Babylon 5 and Battlestar Galactica and any kind of, you know, outer space military type stuff like that.
Warring space tribes.
Yes, yes. Puppetry, of course, right. Is a track, and one of the best. That's one of the absolute most fun tracks
Premier
at DragonCon.
One.
The robotics and maker track.
That's where they have the big robot fight, right?
Yes, they do robot battles at DragonCon every year. The science track. And that's real science, not science fiction. There's a science track.
I would like that.
Science fiction literature has a track. Silk Road, Asian cinema and culture. Yeah, sort of like the Brit track is covering British stuff. Silk Road covers Asian stuff. And they mean like Japanese and Chinese stuff, but also Middle Eastern, Indian, all that kind of stuff. Bollywood stuff they cover.
Neat.
Martial arts. Everything is under Silk Road. Star Wars has its own track. It's one of the few things that's a specific property that has its own dedicated track these days, but there are two. There's Star Wars track and there's the Trek track.
Yes.
Of course, for the Star Trek people. Urban fantasy is a track. Video gaming is a track. The writer's track. The X track. X track is kind of like weird alien invasion, government conspiracy type of shows. It's named after the X-Files.
Ah.
But they cover, well, they used to cover Lost and they cover Stranger Things falls under X track. Stuff like that, as well as paranormal stuff, because there used to be a separate paranormal track, and that has been folded into X-Track this year. So the psychics and the ghost investigating people and all that stuff is happening under X-Track. And there's young adult literature, and I missed a couple, so...
Is there no skeptics
yes,
track?
Yes, you know, I skipped over half a page, so doubling back, yes, the skeptics still have a track. So, you know, never mind the paranormal stuff. If you want the reality-based side of things, the skeptics are there. And, of course, they're looking at paranormal claims and things like that, but from a science-based, evidence-based perspective. And there's the space track also. And that's astronomy and outer space and astronauts and all that stuff. And space has its own dedicated track. So I was not counting, but I think that's everything. And there's even some other stuff beyond that. Comic books. It's kind of separate. It's not considered a track because there's a whole giant floor full of comic book artists and stuff. But then there's also comic book panels and presentations. And there's a lot more kinds of gaming going on. I know we mentioned video games, but there's also tabletop
yeah.
gaming and LARPing and 100 other kinds of games that I know nothing about. So what do you think? That'll keep you busy?
Yeah.
I already feel exhausted, you know. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of guests scheduled to appear. I shall now read them all. No, we're not going to... No, I'm not going to read every guest. Not even close. But just to give you some idea of what's happening, well, some of the guests I'm most excited about is that just recently they announced, out of nowhere, a Karate Kid reunion.
Really?
So we're going to have Ralph Macchio will be there, the Karate Kid himself.
Nice.
William Zabka will be there. You know, his opponent, Johnny.
Yes.
Zabka is coming. And Martin Cove, who was Kreese, the sensei of the Cobra Kai dojo.
Yep.
Martin Cove is going to be there. So all three of them will be there together. And that's exciting. I've seen all those guys at events, and I've seen them in pairs, various pairs. But I don't think I've seen those three guys together. But that is happening.
That is a cool surprise.
Yes. I'm hoping I get to see those guys. They also just announced from wrestling, because there's a big wrestling event Thursday night, I believe. A few pretty big name wrestling guests will be there as well, including they just announced Jake the Snake Roberts is coming. Remember that dude from the 80s?
How could I forget?
Guy with the snake.
Right.
He'd take an actual giant snake out of a bag and just let it slither around on top of his opponent after he knocked the guy out. I don't know if he's bringing a snake.
Don't get knocked out.
But Jake will be there. I'm going to try to stay conscious when I'm around right. Jake the Snake Roberts, just in case. And I know that our friend Dave, the Phantom Troublemaker, Dave West, I believe, once again, will be announcing during the wrestling matches this year. And he's great at that. For the Star Trek people, a couple of big names from Star Trek. William Shatner is coming back, of course.
Oh, yes.
The original, Captain Kirk. William Shatner will be there. And George Takei is coming back.
Very cool.
So come on. I met George at Dragon Con a few years ago, and man, what a treat that is. Some other guests as well, I think, from the new Star Trek Discovery series. They have some actors from Discovery. From Star Wars, they have the new Chewbacca, the guy who's been Chewbacca in the last couple of movies, and also did some fill-in work for Peter Mayhew, even when Peter was still involved. I'm going to butcher the name, but Junus Sutamo or something
like
that.
I've not heard his name pronounced before.
Yeah, this is the new actor playing Chewbacca, but he's coming. And also, you mentioned BB-8 on our robot episode.
Yes, the biggest of the tiny robots.
A couple of weeks ago, because I know you're a big BB-8 fan, and working with the Star Wars track and also working with the puppetry track. The two primary puppeteers of BB-8 are coming back, Dave Chapman and Brian Herring. So I'm sure that'll be really cool, really interesting. Explaining BB-8 to
yes,
all of us.
It takes some interesting puppetry to run BB-8.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, I also noticed on the puppetry track, I know they have a lot of people who worked on Farscape, you know, because that was a show that used Henson Muppets on it. So I think Brian Henson is coming back. And Steve Whitmire is coming, and he's been the puppeteer behind Kermit and Ernie, like ever since the early 90s, or ever since Jim died. Also, Rizzo the Rat is him.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's the original Rizzo the Rat, I believe. Some fun stuff happening on the puppetry track, of course. I know they also have Rick Goldschmidt coming. Not a name that many people know, but I know that name because he's a Rankin-Bass historian.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is the guy, he literally wrote the book on Rankin-Bass because I have a book about all the old Rankin-Bass Christmas specials and all their animated projects. And it was written by this guy, Rick Goldschmidt. He's going to be at Dragon Con. So I know that the puppetry track and maybe the animation track have some Rankin-Bass programming planned. And I'm hoping I can see some of it. I get everything. It's always depending on my schedule.
You can't get your heart set on any of it.
Yeah, because I'm working all weekend. You know,
you can have a plan.
Yeah. Whatever I can fit in between stuff that I'm doing, I'm hoping to catch, you know, these Karate Kid guys and see some Rankin-Bass stuff. Let me see. Just a few other names that are interesting. Robert Englund's coming. He was the original Freddy Krueger. You know, Lou Ferrigno's going to be there. The Incredible Hulk. He's there almost every year at Dragon Con Institution.
Yeah, it's like he never leaves. just there and ready to go.
Just sleeps under his table in the autograph room.
Each year.
Carrie Elwes from Princess Bride is coming back.
Oh, nice.
Also from the new season of Stranger Things he was in as well.
Oh, now you got me.
See that? You got to get into Stranger Things.
Now you got me.
Don't start from season 3, though. Go back to season 1.
Oh, fine.
It's going to take you a while to get up to the Carrie Elwes parts, but it'll be worth it. And they got a bunch of people from Shazam, from the new Shazam movie. They have Shazam himself. Zachary Levi is Shazam, you know, the superhero in the new movie. He's coming. And the kid that plays Billy Batson, who turns into Shazam, Asher Angel. Got Billy and Shazam going to be there together.
Neat.
Which is cool. I enjoyed that movie. I just rewatched that movie a few days ago. Because I like Shazam.
I still need to watch it the first time.
I think you would like it.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a couple of dark parts. Other than that, it's really fun, really good. You would like it.
I've been meaning to watch it. But I forgot. I was trying to figure out a movie to watch the other night, and I forgot that I've been meaning to watch Shazam. And ended up watching The Commitments again.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's a good one,
too. Which is also good.
I love The Commitments.
I got to get around to Shazam.
I'm just imagining Shazam, you know, singing lead with The Commitments.
All Shazam wants to do is ride around Sally.
That would be a very, very different movie. The mayor, Felicity, like her favorite show these days is The Magicians, which I know very little about, but I know they have a bunch of people from The Magicians are coming, which she is excited about. You're into Lucifer?
Yes, right? I am.
They've got a bunch of actors from Lucifer coming as well. I can't tell you exactly who. I don't know, but a bunch of Lucifer people are going to be there. And then all my shows, all those DC comic shows that I follow, I've got a bunch of actors coming from Legends of Tomorrow and from Arrow and from Gotham and Black Lightning. They just announced a bunch of Black Lightning actors, including Black Lightning himself. Maybe the biggest guest, the guest that people seem to be most excited about, is David Tennant,
who,
of course, from Doctor Who. And I knew him better from Jessica Jones. He was like the evil villain on Jessica Jones. And I think you just watched Good Omens,
yes,
right?
Most recently from Good Omens.
Sure, so the demon Crowley, one of the stars of Good Omens. But that's, I've heard so many people, if you ask what are they looking forward to, and they say, I want to see David Tennant.
David Tennant, yeah.
Yeah, so people are going to be freaking out over David Tennant. I think there's only one person coming from Mystery Science Theater 3000 this year. Usually there's a handful in different combinations, but I believe this year it's just Bill Corbett was the only name that I saw. So Bill from MST3K and these days from Riff Tracks. I'm going to see Riff Tracks tomorrow night as we record Riff Tracks Live.
And what movie are they doing?
A giant spider movie. It's called like Giant Spider Invasion. I'm a little concerned. But Bill's going to be there. If we survive the giant spider invasion, Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks will be at Dragon Con this year.
I think, Kevin, if you can survive the meatballs, you can survive the spiders.
You think Giant Spider Invasion will be better than Meatballs 3?
Yes.
I think you're right.
Without hesitation.
I'm taking my friend Jessa to see Riff Tracks tomorrow, and she's going to protect me. I'm bringing her along just to
shield you from the
yes,
spiders.
Yes. A very strong list of comic book creators coming to the show this year, and I'm not going to come anywhere close to listing all of them, but George Perez is coming back. He loves Dragon Con. George is there every year, and just one of the great comics creators of modern times.
You were on a panel with him last year.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I believe. I was honored to be on a panel about Wonder Woman with George Perez. He's coming back, as well as Marv Wolfman, who's the writer that wrote a lot of the classic stuff that George drew. They're going to be there together, which will be fun. Roy Thomas is coming, and I don't know if he's ever been there, certainly not in a long time. Mike Grell, Athena Finger is coming. Athena Finger is the granddaughter of Bill Finger, co-creator of Batman. She's started making some appearances at comics conventions here and there and sort of, you know, speaking up and telling people about her grandfather. For decades, hardly anyone even knew his name. The name Bill Finger was mostly unknown because Bob Kane took all the credit for the creation of Batman. And meanwhile, Bill Finger deserves a lot of the actual credit. And these days, he's finally getting that recognition. So,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to, hopefully, if I can, I will go see Athena Finger speak about her grandfather and Batman. But a lot of Batman stuff happening. William Stout coming back. Jill Thompson's going to be there. She's super cool. I love Jill. Keith Giffen, Erica Henderson. She draws Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
And Sarah Richard, friend of the show. Sarah Richard, local artist who's wonderful. Sarah's going to be there as well. I think she was there last year and I totally missed her. I never even got over to the comic book area last year.
As can happen, they had a convention of 85,000 people.
Yeah, and the comics area is sort of a couple of buildings removed from most of the other hotels, and I never even got over there last year. I'm going to try again this year. As far as music, tons of music and concerts and parties and stuff happening all weekend. I just jotted down a handful of the names of people that we know, including Molly Lewis is coming back. We love Molly. Mike Furman is coming back, another comedy musician. Mikey Mason coming back.
I love Mikey Mason.
Good friend of the comedy music scene, of course. And Mikey has become a regular now the last several years at Dragon Con. I think I totally missed Mikey last year also. I missed a lot of people last year. Tom Smith will be there again this year as well.
Yeah, you couldn't keep him away.
The King of the Filkers is another Dragon Con institution, Tom Smith. There's a band, I've never heard them, but friends of mine just rave about them. There's a band called Cybertronic Spree who played there last year. I did not see them, but this is a rock band in costume as Transformers.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Which, that sounds funny and gimmicky, but then they play and apparently they're great. It's a super amazing live band. And you're watching Transformers in a rock band.
So you would say they are more than meets the eye?
Evidently, yeah. So in the unlikely event that it fits my schedule, I might also try to catch some Cybertronic Spree, but we'll see.
They could end up on a robot list in the future,
couldn't
they?
Could be. Ooh, that'd be good. Do some musical robots next year, perhaps?
Oh! Right. Thinking ahead.
Let's try to remember for next summer for our robot list. Other friends of ours, friends of the show who are on the official guest list for Dragon Con include Dr. Pamela Gay will be there. I'm sure she'll be working with the science track and with the space track. You know, she's an astronomy expert. I did a panel with her at the beginning of the year. Pamela and I were on a panel together at Aresia about GLOW, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Aresia is where I first heard her. She's talking about space in the news.
Yes. I don't think she'll have time to talk about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling at Dragon Con. But they're probably
a shame.
They're going to keep her very busy talking about outer space stuff. But definitely see Dr. Pamela Gay if you can. Richard Saunders from the Australian Skeptics. He's coming all the way back from Australia. He'll be busy with the Skeptic track, I'm sure. And he's from the Skeptic Zone podcast. Good guy. Joseph Scrimshaw will be there again. I know he missed last year, but coming back this year, I saw Joseph at Convergence. Back in July, LA-based comedian these days, and he's terrific. Joseph's going to be there. Scott Sigler's coming back, a science fiction horror novelist and friend of the Skeptics also. Also, speaking of the Skeptics, the Skeptics Guide to the Universe will be there, podcasting friends of ours, almost the whole crew. I think Kara had to drop out. I think her TV taping schedule changed because she works on TV shows. But Evan and Steve and Bob and Jay from Skeptic's Guide to the Universe will be there. My friend Emily is coming back. Emily Fink is a science communicator, and she works a lot, does really fun panels with the science track. And also Dr. Nicole Galushi, the noisy astronomer, another good friend of mine, and she's wonderful. She'll be doing some space and science stuff as well. So if you have time to get away from the science fiction and fantasy and goofy superhero stuff, there's a lot of really fun, cool science and skeptic stuff happening. Now, looking more in our little world of the ESO network, well, this is not official network people, but network adjacent friends of the ESO network who are on the guest list include novelist Keith R.A. DeCandido. The award-winning novelist Bobby Nash is coming back. You know, he's there every year. Van Allen Plexico is coming back, also a novelist friend of mine, formerly of the ESO network, and now he broke off on his own with his podcasts and stuff. Kevin Batchelder's coming back from Tuning Into Sci-Fi podcast. Michael Bailey.
From the Fortress of Baileytude.
From the Fortress of Baileytude, correct? Is going to be super busy with panels and superhero talk and all that fun stuff. Michael Faulkner's coming back. Michael French is coming back. So many Michaels, you know, as we discovered last year.
Yes, an insane number of Michaels.
We had a whole panel devoted to just Michaels last year at Dragon Con. I don't think we're doing that this year officially, but unofficially, a lot of Michaels are going to be there, as usual. But Michael French and Melinda Mock from Retro Blasting will be doing a lot of Retro Blasting presentations, and those are super fun and informative. Bethany Kessler, another writer friend of mine, is coming back. She's great. Sue Kissenweather, who's a Star Trek and Star Wars expert and a super cool lady. Sue's going to be there doing a million panels all weekend. Tallulah Love from the local Atlanta burlesque scene, again, formerly of the ESO network. And she's going to be producing the big burlesque show at Dragon Con once again, a show that I've never been to because I'm just always too busy. But that's happening again. I believe our old friend Remy D.
will be there.
New Orleans burlesque dancer Remy D. I think Remy's coming back again. And sometimes I run into her at Dragon Con and sometimes I don't. James Palmer, another writer and cool guy who I've done many panels and stuff with. And we mentioned Dave West already. Dave West, formerly known as the Phantom Troublemaker, kind of goes by his own name these days, but people might still remember him as the Phantom Troublemaker and host of the Needless Things podcast.
Yes.
Such a great podcaster and speaker and event host and announcer and does all that, interviewer, does all that stuff. And this is a special year for Dave at Dragon Con because there was a documentary filmmaker following him around for about a year.
I remember you mentioning this.
Yeah, and there's a movie. They made a movie, a documentary about Dave, the Phantom Troublemaker. The movie is called Troublemaker, and it will be premiering at DragonCon. They're having a special movie premiere event. And man, I'm hoping to catch that as well, because I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie. From the ESO Network, on the guest list, we have our director, Mike Faber, of course.
Yes, fearless leader.
Our fearless leader, you got that right. Mike Gordon, of course, from the Tiki Zombie comic books and all of our publishing projects here on the ESO Network. Mike will be there. Mike will have a table in the comic book room. The Tiki Zombie table will be there, so you can go find Mike there.
Go find Mike and say howdy.
Say howdy to Mike. Mike is a howdy Mike, that's right. Get some comics, get some books from Mike. I believe he'll have the ESO Tales from the Station books, you know, books of short stories, including a couple that I wrote.
Yeah.
Go buy a book with something by me in it at DragonCon.
Neat.
That'd be fun. Jason and Rita from Transmissions from Atlantis and Transmissions from Gallifrey, and they make movies and animation and audio drama podcasts and stuff. Jason and Rita are on the guest list as well. I'm on the list. I'll be there as an attending professional again this year, doing all sorts of wacky panels and whatnot. And there's going to be other people from the ESO Network are descending upon Atlanta as well. Other ESO people that you may see there include Nathan from the 42 cast, Brad and Joe from Cigar Nerds, Chris and Tina, at least, if not others, from Nerd Bliss shall be there. Nicole from the Terminus Doctor Who podcast is coming. Angela, the Geek Girl, does the Geek Girl segments during Earth Station 1. I believe Angela's coming, I think.
Neat.
New podcast on the network. We have a new podcast called Thunder Talk, which is hosted by Dan, who formerly of Nerd Bliss, and Dan is going to be there representing one of our newest shows here on the network, Thunder Talk. So look for Dan and look for the show. Check out the show if you haven't heard it yet. You probably haven't. It's new.
Yeah.
Dan will be there. And also, I'm probably missing people, but the other name I have is Sean from the Rusted Robot podcast and the Soul Forge podcast. And I don't think Sean has been at DragonCon before. And Sean, in case you don't realize, is from Canada. Sean is what makes our network international.
Uh-huh.
I was very happy to see that Sean is coming down to DragonCon. So lots of ESO people will be lurking about. And let's jump right into my schedule now. I'm going to say real quick where I'm going to be. All of this is tentative, of course. Things could change. Things probably will change.
Contents could shift.
Things are shifting around. They're still announcing guests. Like, they're still adding, like, famous people to the schedule. And that can have a ripple effect.
Exactly.
You know, 30 things have to shift around because William Shatner's coming. That kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
But here's where I'll be as far as I know. On Thursday, August 29th, I think I will be among the tour guides for the DragonCon walking tours again. Because we gather tour groups of new people. And we will take you, lead you around, show you where everything is at DragonCon. I've been doing that for the last few years. I think I'll be doing that. There's a chance my schedule will prevent me from doing that. But if things go according to plan, I'll be a tour guide again.
I hope that works out for you. You always have the best stories from doing that.
It's always interesting. It's exhausting. You have to circle all around downtown Atlanta for a few hours.
But people appreciate it.
Yelling really loud. So a group of 20 people can hear you amidst 80,000 other people.
Are you not bringing your megaphone this year?
I should.
You absolutely should.
I should bring you. You're louder than me. You can see. You're a better speaker than me. Could you be my will you be my megaphone?
When I come to DragonCon one of these years, I will be your megaphone, Kevin.
I will whisper to you, and then you will...
I will belt it out.
...announce to the group. That would really save my voice for the rest of the weekend.
Right, because I'm not going to be on any panels. That's all you. So
possibly see me conducting tours Thursday afternoon. 10 o'clock Thursday night is the ESO Network meet and greet. You can hang out with us Thursday night at a bar.
You can meet and also greet.
As you know, I will only do one or the other. You can meet me or greet me. I will not do both.
You have to draw the line somewhere.
But I will let you choose.
That's very generous.
I'm prepared to do one or the other upon request. But new location this year. I believe the plan is we're going to be at the bar at the Westin, which is one of the DragonCon host hotels.
Oh, that is different.
Yes. So find us at the Westin Bar Thursday night, 10 p.m. Hang out with everybody from the ESO Network. That's always a super fun time. Friday, 2:30 p.m., the Planet of the Apes cartoon series. Did you know there was a Planet of the Apes cartoon back in the 70s?
I was blissfully unaware of this.
Yeah, well, there were Planet of the Apes movies. They did a bunch of movies.
I know those.
Late 60s through the mid-70s. They did a TV series, live-action Planet of the Apes TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh.
Which I definitely watched back in the day. And This is the American Sci-Fi Classics track. Our friends Joe and Gary are the directors of the Sci-Fi Classics track. I believe they make a point of having some kind of Planet of the Apes panel every year. I'll tell you, Cornflake, I've been rewatching these cartoons to get ready, and it's really good.
Oh!
We'll be discussing the Planet of the Apes cartoon series. That's at 2:30 on Friday. Right after that, 4 p.m. Friday is Classic Sci-Fi Legends, and you know, we do this every year. We do it on the Flopcast every year in January. This is the DragonCon version, in which we look back on everyone from science fiction and pop culture in general that we lost over the course of the year.
I have a hard enough time doing this once a year, Kevin. mad props to you for doing it more than once a year.
It would be me and a bunch of other people going through those we lost this year and, you know, focusing on some of the big names. Burt Reynolds, we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And Burt died, I think, right after DragonCon last year. So Burt will be part of our presentation this year. Stan Lee, of course. We'll be talking some Stan Lee, certainly. And we'll hit all the big names and maybe some of the small ones as well. And it's nice. It's a celebration of what these people did. You know, it's not sad. We don't just mope around in mourning for an hour.
Well, maybe you don't.
The way you started to over Irene Cara.
Yeah.
It'll be good. That's Classic Sci-Fi Legends. It's always a really nice panel. Join me there. That's Friday, 4 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Classics track. Saturday morning. The parade is Saturday morning. There's a big DragonCon parade.
Tell us, Kevin, will you be at the parade?
You know who's the Grand Marshal of the parade every year, front and center, leading as we all proudly march down the street, like in the Frosty the Snowman Rankin-Bass cartoon. I'm out front, of course, proudly marching with my fellow geeks. Oh, no, wait. I make a point of avoiding the parade every year.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I forgot for a second there.
And not because it's not a great parade.
The parade is great. The parade is amazing. It's, I don't know, 100,000 people? I don't know how many people show up. It could be in six digits, the amount of people that show up to watch this parade. It's thousands and thousands of people in costume marching through downtown Atlanta. And it's open to the public. This isn't just for people who are at the convention. And so the public shows up.
Yep.
Like the streets fill for blocks and blocks through downtown Atlanta. It's a wonderful event. People can take their kids. It's terrific. My feeling is I've seen the parade. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will indeed be skipping the parade again this year because Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, just as that parade is kicking off, I will be in the American Sci-Fi Classics room for Rolla Panel, which, as you recall, we have a giant 20-sided die, which we roll, and whatever comes up on the die, we have a quick 5-minute panel on that subject, and then we roll again. And this is a special themed edition of Rolla Panel. This is about Batman's 80th anniversary. This is Rolla Panel celebrating 80 years of Batman. So everything that comes up is Batman-related. So, and Rolla Panels are always fun. They're always crazy. We fill the stage with as many people as we can. So
right.
Everybody associated with the Classics track is, if you're available, get up there.
It's kind of like We Are the World.
Yes, yes. I'm going to be in the Bette Midler position from We Are the World. I'll be in the corner and people will be wondering why I'm there.
Well, it will be to be the wind beneath their wings, obviously.
I'll be like the Dan Aykroyd or the Bette Midler.
That's awesome.
Of Rolla Panel. That is 10 a.m. Saturday morning. Skip the parade. Come talk about Batman with us. That's the plan. Right after that, wow, the Batman talk keeps going because I have to run across the Marriott from one end to the other to a different track, to the American Science Fiction Fantasy Media track. And I do a lot of stuff with them, of course, every year as well. And that's currently a Classics track, covers the old stuff. American Science Fiction Fantasy Media track covers the new stuff. And 11:30 Saturday, we'll be talking about Gotham, the TV series Gotham, which just came to an end. Final season just wrapped up this year. A lot of Gotham actors are going to be at DragonCon this year, so there's going to be a lot of cool Gotham stuff happening. And I will be on the Gotham panel, Gotham, the End of the Beginning. That's at 11:30. 4 o'clock Saturday. This is not me. This is the mayor of Chickentown from the Flopcast. Felicity will be on a panel in the Classics track. The name of the panel? Bill and Ted's Excellent Panel.
Ooh.
This is, of course, celebrating the 30th anniversary of the first Bill and Ted movie.
So there'll be some hot Keanu talk.
I believe there'll be some Keanu talk, yes. So the mayor will be among the panelists discussing Bill and Ted.
I recently saw him in the Netflix movie Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yes.
You know, I've never seen the Bill and Ted movies.
What?
Yeah. There,
wow.
I said it. There's a reason the mayor is on this panel and not me.
Kevin, even I have seen the Bill and Ted movies.
See that?
bogus.
There's some, some shocking information for you. 7 p.m. We're still on Saturday, but 7 p.m. Again on the science fiction fantasy media track, Arrow, Family of Choices. And this course is a panel about Arrow, the Arrow TV series. You know, all about Green Arrow.
Just try to keep you off an Arrow panel.
Try to keep me off an Arrow panel. I've done several of them over the years. I know I was on the Arrow panel last year. I'm happy to be on this one again this year.
When I am sitting in traffic and I see a Green Arrow, I think of you.
Thank you. And right after that, same room, I believe, either the same room or the room right next door, Teen Titans, Assembling a Team, panel about the current Titans show, which is on the new DC Universe streaming service, whatever they call it, the new show Titans, which is, it's a cool show, it's dark.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's good. That's 8:30 Saturday night, we'll be talking Titans. Let's jump to Sunday morning, and Classic Sci-Fi Court is in session. Once again,
this
is our third annual edition of Sci-Fi Court, in which those of us on the panel play the role of defense attorneys, and we will try to mount a defense for movies that most people consider terrible movies. 2 years ago, I defended Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I defended Lost in Space, the late 90s movie version of Lost in Space. This year, from 1984, Supergirl.
Lucky you.
Supergirl shall be defended. The great Helen Slater as Supergirl. We love her.
Right.
And I think everybody loves Helen Slater's portrayal of Supergirl, but a lot of people have issues with the movie. But I'm going to sort it all out for you.
Okay.
By the end of my defense, you will all love Supergirl.
By the end of your defense, we will all have heard a defense.
Yes. Something's going to happen. I don't know. And there, a bunch of other panelists will be defending other movies as well. It'll be a very fun time.
Anyone defending Meatballs 4?
Oh, I should have done all of them. If only I'd worked that out in advance, because that's actually what I've been preparing for all the summer. See that? I spent the whole summer watching Meatballs movies. Now I have to go talk about
now
Supergirl.
You have nothing to show for it.
Oops. Right after that, 11:30 a.m., back over on the American Science Fiction Fantasy Media track, Krypton, In Zod We Trust. And that's a series on the Sci-Fi Channel currently. It's set in the past of Krypton. It's about Superman's grandfather as a young man on Krypton.
I see.
That's at 11:30. Oh, Felicity has another panel later on Sunday. The mayor of Chickentown at 4 p.m. will be discussing Doom Patrol. That's another one of those DC streaming service shows, Doom Patrol. That's a weird show.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of freaks. Now, here's a big one, though, Cornflake. Sunday night, 10 p.m., UHF, 30-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Spatula City.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we will be paying tribute to the 30th anniversary of Weird Al Yankovic's movie, UHF.
Is anyone going to drink from the fire hose?
We may have a fire hose. Will there be a wheel of fish? I don't know what we're going to have in the room. I'm pretty sure we are going to have spatulas. There will be spatulas on hand to celebrate UHF. And I think the plan is we're going to do a short panel, like I don't know how long, 20 minutes or so, short panel discussing the movie. Then we're just going to watch the movie.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. I believe another night, this is on the classics track, but they do like a movie every night, I think, because I think another night they're going to be showing Neverending Story. And yet another night, I believe, the charity fundraiser movie this year, where you have to pay to get out of the room, they're doing Mac and Me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, they are.
We did this with the Star Wars Holiday Special. Like, they showed the Star Wars Holiday Special, and they accepted donations if you want to leave the room. They'll take some money for the Dragon Con charity. Last year, they used the Kiss movie. The guys from Kiss made a dreadful movie in the 70s.
Yes.
And this year, Mac and Me.
When you brought up Neverending Story, though, for a minute there, I thought, they're not using Neverending Story.
No,
nobody
no.
would pay to get out of listening to Lamal.
No, Neverending Story. We're just going to watch Neverending Story and enjoy. Like we did last year with The Cat from Outer Space.
Yes.
That was not a charity thing. That was just, let's watch The Cat from Outer Space. Oh, the classics track is the best. Speaking of which, Monday morning, Labor Day, you know you can find me in the classics track room. 8:30 a.m., Cornflake.
Will there be cereal?
I'm going to assume, yes, there probably will be.
Oh, okay, good.
Because the panel is Cartooniversary. In previous years, we've done Superheroversary. This year, Cartooniversary. And we're just going to be talking Saturday morning shows or cartoons in general that are celebrating kind of a big anniversary year. For example, H.R. Puffin stuff is 50 years old this year.
Just like Matthew Perry.
Yes, Matthew Perry may have been born on Living Island, a product of Sid and Marty Croft.
And there's nobody here to refute that claim.
That makes perfect sense. But Johnny Quest, Flash Gordon, Batman Beyond, I believe, we're going to be talking all that stuff. Cartoon Anniversary, 11:30 a.m., couple of things going on for Team Flopcast. We're going to divide and conquer because the mayor of Chicken Town will be on the science fiction fantasy media track discussing Russian Doll. You know, your girl Natasha Lyonne.
Yes.
Her show, which is a super cool show, which we really enjoyed this year. And Felicity will be on the Russian Doll panel. I think Mike Faber is on that panel with her, director of the ESO Network.
Those are some big names.
I think so, yeah. So that'll be good. I would be there, except I'm going to be in a different building. I've got to run over to the Hyatt. This is a whole different track now, a track I've never worked with, but I'm doing a panel.
For the paranormal track?
I'm going to go over there and say, what's wrong with you people?
No X track for you.
For the first time ever, I'm going to be working with the writer's track. Check this out, though, Cornflake. The panel is Podcasting for Authors. I think I'm a little more on the podcasting side of this subject than the author side, although I've done both.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. So I'm really looking forward to working with a whole new track this year.
I'm excited to hear how that one turns out. That sounds really interesting.
I'm going to tell you all about it. And one more panel on Monday, 1 p.m., Pennyworth. Pennyworth is a new show I have not seen yet. It's really new. It just started running like 2 weeks ago. But I'll see it before I go to Atlanta. I'm going to see Pennyworth. But this is sort of a prequel to a prequel. Like Gotham, the series Gotham was about young Bruce Wayne as a kid before he becomes Batman.
Uh-huh.
Pennyworth is about Alfred.
Is it about Alfred
Pennyworth, but way in the past. This is young Alfred Pennyworth, off having adventures on his own.
Ooh.
Yeah. I hope it's good. I haven't seen it yet.
It certainly sounds like it has promise.
I'm going to see the show, and then I'm going to discuss it at DragonCon.
Like you do.
That's the plan. So that's my schedule at DragonCon, Cornflake. Many opportunities, people. Find me at DragonCon. I'll be in the app. There's a DragonCon app where you can look up the guests and the attending pros and the schedules and the maps and the tracks and everything's in the DragonCon app. Find me there. If you find me at DragonCon, I'll give you a ribbon. One of our Flopcast badge ribbons.
So in the app, do they have like a beacon on you where people can...
You can just track me like a creep. Yes.
I might just do that from like up in Chickatown. Like, where's Kevin now? Set off the beacon.
You can follow my every move and get yourself a ribbon. A Cousin Oliver Flopcast ribbon. Ribbons are becoming bigger at DragonCon this year.
Bigger than they have been.
They were never super big at DragonCon compared to other conventions we go to where people are way into badge ribbons. You know, people exchange little ribbons that say weird things on them. And you hang them from your convention badge. But it's been slowly increasing in popularity at DragonCon, and I think it's really going to take off this year. That's the impression based on all the ribbon chatter I've been seeing on the internet. But if you find me, you'll get one of our new Flopcast Cousin Oliver badge ribbons. They're pretty ridiculous, and I'd love to give you one. That's DragonCon, Cornflake.
Wow.
Any questions?
How have you not seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
That's your takeaway from our DragonCon preview show?
No, I promise I was paying attention to the other stuff, too.
All right. Well, hope to see you there. That's DragonCon. Cornflake, please get us out of here.
That's a really good idea. Flopcast.net is where you can find us on the internet. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast and on Twitter. Our handle there is @flopcast. And on the old Instagram, the_flopcast is our handle there.
That's it. All right, Cornflake, thanks for suffering through another long list of DragonCon information.
Oh, this all sounds really interesting to me, actually. So I'm excited to hear about it when you come back.
It's going to be good.
Thank you for the 80s memories, fuzzy as they may be.
Absolutely. I had our little 1980 talk to kick things off. Next week, 1981.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the plan. All right, see you there.
Peace and cookies.
Howdy! DragonCon 2019 is fast approaching, so fill up your buckets of rum and keep up with the latest news, announcements, interviews, and mispronunciations of guest names as only the Con Report podcast crew can make. Let us be your guide each month as we count down to the big event on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media play. Listen to the DragonCon Con Report.
Cornflake, secret after show. This is the secret after show.
Yes, and I have a question for you.
Oh, good.
if you could dip anything in chocolate, what would it be?
Matthew Perry.
You would dip Matthew Perry in chocolate?
I don't know. I just kind of blurted that out in the heat of the moment. Why? What are you recommending?
I'm not recommending anything. I have to. This is something I'm asking for advice, really. I probably should have said that
first. Do you have a tub of chocolate over there and then you just don't know what to do with it?
I have an event that I will be attending that requires one to dip things in chocolate. I have this friend. Well, you know my friend Laura.
Yes.
She has in her home a chocolate fountain.
Right.
So she has invited us to all come to the chocolate fountain.
Like, you're going to a chocolate dipping event.
Yes, a chocolate fountain, okay. Chocolate dipping event. And
you're all going to splash around in the fountain, like in the opening credits of Friends, like Matthew Perry?
Here's the thing. There's always food available. There's the things that you would think to dip in chocolate, like strawberries.
Yeah.
Then maybe some more unconventional things, like Pringles.
It's boring. Let's get more interesting.
Yeah.
How about your enemies?
Yeah, I can see how that would be satisfying. And yet, I intend to enjoy this evening, and that feels like chocolate wasted. So I'm trying to think of something that I could bring because...
How about my enemies?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.